Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Sets up some scenery, and we're going to talk about that. Before we get right into that, I want to share with you, who knows what today is? Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. Who knows what Pentecost Sunday means? Amen. So Pentecost Sunday means that Penta comes from that translation of those words and all that kind of stuff, 50. And so it means 50 days from the time that Christ had risen from the dead to actually he ascended into heaven. So in the Bible, there's a 50-day period that occurs. 50-day period that occurs. There's 40 days from him going to the cross, from him rising from the dead, right? He rises from the dead. There's a 40-day period before he ascends into heaven. And then there's a 10-day period before the disciples are in the upper room and the Holy Spirit comes to permanently indwell. So you get 40 plus 10, which gives us 50. 50 days after Easter. You want to look at it on the calendar? 50 days after Easter, we have what's called Pentecost Sunday. What's wonderful about Pentecost Sunday, that if you look over in the book of Acts, you'll find that on Pentecost Sunday, the Bible describes that the disciples were all up in the upper room on one accord. Amen? Amen. And what a blessing it is to be all on one accord. To be all on one accord. So if we could be all on one accord here in our worship service today, what a blessing that would be. Amen? Amen. 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 So we get back to this scenery. So we're here at the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus Christ is getting ready to go before those that are going to falsely accuse him. He's getting ready to be betrayed. He knows all of this that is getting ready to happen. He knows every single bit of it is getting ready to happen. He knows the pain that he's about to go through. He knows all of this. And so he's doing his best to prepare for that. Now, the wonderful thing about Christ that we find is that not only is he 100% God, but he's also 100% man. Also 100% man. So that means that in knowing that all of this is going to happen, he may be afraid. He may be scared. He may be dealing with anxiety. He may be having all kinds of emotions and all kinds of stuff going through his body and trying to deal with what it is he knows he's got to deal with. And so he asks his close disciples, his close friends, who have seen miracles performed, who have seen all kinds of stuff, who have just come from the upper room and having the Last Supper and going through all this and Jesus washing their feet and all of this, putting this whole scene together, that all of this kind of stuff. He says, would you come and pray with me? So the disciples, of course, yes, we'll come and pray with you. And they get down in the garden. So you know how we do after we've eaten a good meal. We had a little bit to drink and have eaten this good meal. I don't know about you, but my eyelids get a little heavy after some collard greens and some chicken and some hot sauce and potatoes and cornbread, dessert, 4-5 layer cake, some ice cream on the side. Yeah, you know how after we eat all that kind of stuff, we get tired. We get tired. And so it's possible that the disciples were just tired. But he says, would you come and pray with me? And as they come to the garden, Jesus, as he's done so many different times in the Bible, he sort of separates himself from the rest of the group. The Bible describes here in Luke chapter 22, says that he went a stone's cast away. I don't know how far you might be able to throw a rock. I don't know, a stone, maybe about 50 feet. Maybe about 50 feet away. He gets away from them. And as he gets away from them, he puts himself in a preparatory state to get ready to pray. The Bible says right here, I believe it says that he kneeled. Did it not? It says that he kneeled down and he prayed. So now, does everybody have the scene? Does everybody have the scene? I heard one person say, yeah. Does everybody got the scene? Okay. And so he kneels down to pray. And in his praying, notice what Jesus says. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Today, I hope that you will be able to see what God has shown me through these scriptures. The importance of worship. The importance of worship. So many times we interchange worship with praise. A lot of times you hear praise and worship. Here at LFB, we have worship and praise. But so many times you hear these coming together. Have you ever thought about the difference between worship and praise? Anybody know the difference between worship and praise? Anybody have their own definition of the difference between worship and praise? Yes, Aaron, what is your... Look, because we got people listening, we got to have a microphone. Which color you want me to get? So what is your difference that you see between worship and praise?
Well, from the way I was taught previously, praise is when we're all together basically just singing of the goodness of Jesus and what God has done for us leading up to where we are at that very moment and what he's going to do. Worship is that one-on-one connection that we have. Basically, this is my personal thing with God now.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else have anything to add to that, or anybody else in agreement with that? Or yes, ma'am. You in agreement? Okay. Anybody else? We good? So, you know how we do with technology. Wonderful. Grab your phone. I want you to look up biblical meaning of worship. And I want someone else to look up the biblical meaning of praise. Biblical meaning of worship. Biblical meaning of praise. And once somebody has it, I want you to share. Biblical meaning of worship. Biblical meaning of praise. Amen. Dean Stason, which one are you going to do? Worship.
Worship is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity.
Okay. Reverence and adoration. Reverence and adoration. Praise? Anybody got praise? You got praise? Hold on.
To express thanks to our love and respect for God.
It's an expression of thanks and love. Is that what you said? An expression of thanks and love, and you said reverence and adoration. Okay? So, I went through scriptures. I started looking through all these different scriptures. You'll find a lot in Psalms, and I might share some of the scriptures from Psalms. But you'll find a lot in Psalms. And then I started looking at different theologians and how they would explain worship and praise. And to me, it seemed to me more things that were the same than they actually were different. That worship and praise sort of go together. You don't really have one separate without the other, that they both step over each other. Much like our climate today. The enemy would rather divide us all, but if we really take the time to really look at it, we as people have more in common with other people than actually differences that we have. You know, some people might say political views of looking at a Republican or looking at a Democrat. I'm on this side, you're on that side. But everybody puts pants on one leg at a time. More things are in common than they're actually different. And so as I started to look more into this worship and praise, I started to find that there's more things that come together with both. Because as I admire him and as I worship him, then that doesn't do nothing but give me a feeling of wanting to express just how much I love him. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? But here I see Jesus. I see Jesus here in this saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I want to give you three S's to help us to understand the importance of worship. Amen? I see sacrifice. I see sacrifice in these scriptures. As he withdrawn from about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and he prayed, saying. Now, as Jesus was preparing to be the ultimate sacrifice for us all, knowing all of this that could have happened, he's God in flesh. He could have chosen to do anything else. He could have chosen to not have to go through all that and just said, it is so, and that's what it is. But he was willing to be a sacrifice. In your worship, if there's not any sacrifice in your worship, then it would be hard to really call that worship. The example that Jesus gives us is that he's the ultimate sacrifice. And in his reverence to God, he allowed himself to be a sacrifice. So sacrifice has to be in your worship. It has to be a part of your worship. Well, what do you think sacrifice might look like now in 2017? If I'm being a sacrifice for someone, if I'm going to sacrifice, that means there's something that I ought to give up. There's something that I ought to let go. Or as Minister Grant so eloquently put it last Sunday, there ought to be something that I ought to shake loose. She did a wonderful job. Praise the Lord. I heard a hoop a couple of times. Amen. Okay, let me get back. Sacrifice, there ought to be something that we ought to let go. Something that I'm holding on to, I ought to be willing to be exposed. I ought to be willing to be transparent. I ought to be willing to put myself in a situation that I might not necessarily want to be in, but a place that I know I have to be. Amen? Worship, the importance of worship. You can't have worship without sacrifice. And then not only sacrifice, but the second S that we're going to see, we'll go back and look at this. As he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, there's a surrender that comes along with worship. In my letting go, in my transparency, in my going to a place that I'd rather not go on my own. If it was my choice, I wouldn't go that way. But there's a surrender that has to happen within worship. In our reverence to God. Here goes the thing. Something that helped me in my worship. In my own, as Sister Fogg put it, in my own personal experience with worship. In that surrendering. Getting the understanding and knowing that God already knows it all. I believe God to be a God that already knows it all, just as though Jesus knew. And going to the garden, it wasn't a surprise to him that the disciples fell asleep. It wasn't a surprise to him that he was going to be betrayed. It wasn't a surprise that he was going to the cross. It wasn't a surprise that all of these different things were going to happen, because he was God in flesh. He knew it was going to happen. He just dealt with the emotions that we dealt with, because he was also 100% man. What helped me in my surrender in my areas is that God knows exactly who I am. He created me to be the person that I am. He created me to like Snickers bars. And I love them. He knew that. It wasn't a surprise to him. He knows I love Snickers bars. And so whenever a Snickers bar is placed in front of me, or whenever there's an opportunity for me to go ahead and get some Snickers, 9.9.9.99999 times out of 10, I'm going for the Snickers bar. But he knows that. He knows that I can sit in the store and spend 15 minutes on the candy aisle going back and forth. Ooh, the Kit Kat. Ooh, look at the Twix. Oh, man. I can. Ooh, Almond Joy. Almond. Ooh, that 100,000 grand. That I can go back and forth. No, I'm going to walk up to the counter with a Snickers bar. That's how that happened. He knows all about us. And so what helped me to surrender my issues, what helped me to surrender my stuff, what helped me to, he knows about it anyway. Worship. How can I be in a place of worship without sacrifice? How can I be in a place of worship without total surrender? If I'm going to reverence him, how dare I go to him trying to look like somebody else that I'm not? He already knows. So how could that be worship if I'm coming to him as a lie? Y'all following me? Amen. Amen. So for worship, the importance of worship, for me to have an understanding of worship, I have to see that there's sacrifice that has to be there. Not only is there sacrifice that has to be here, ask our worship and praise team. It's a sacrifice to stand up here, right? Has there ever been Sundays that you stood up here that you ain't feel like? And been times as you, and that's probably the majority of the time, huh? Not the majority of the time? Okay. So how about surrender? Times of surrender. I have to surrender. I have to do, that's part of worship and praise, right? Father, saying 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. We see sacrifice. We see surrender. 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So after the sacrifice and after the surrender, after what we see Christ doing is being obedient to his walk, obedient to his call. Because as the flesh, if you knew that today when you walked out of those doors, that today would be your last day, that it would be your last moment, and that in going out those doors, you were going to suffer, you were going to go through pain, you were going to be mistreated. The Bible describes Christ's body, says that his body didn't even look like a man no more. They had beat him so much. He had swole up so much. That they had ripped out his beards and chunks of flesh had come out in their hands. Oh, you're God? I tell you what, let's put a blindfold on you. Let me hit you, and which one of us hit you? If they beat him with the whip, and the whip had pieces of metal and pieces of bone in it, and as it hit him on his back, it actually stuck to his back. And when they pulled back to rip again, as they pulled back, flesh and blood just came all over the place and hit him again. And then after that, put this cross on your back. You carry your own cross up to the top of the hill. And as he fell and as he went down to the ground from being weak and from being tired, they beat him again while he was still yet trying to get this cross up the hill. And then to finally make it there, only to find out that it still wasn't over. As they take his mangled body, probably could see through past his skin, past his flesh, to see bone. Laid him and stretched him out on the cross. And as you can imagine, the sledgehammer, as it hit the nail, as it drove through his body, he took his feet and he placed his feet on top of one another, bent his legs slightly, and then nailed his feet. And as they nailed him to this cross, then I've seen several pictures as a depiction, as they would take a rope and tie it to the top and they would pull it up. And as they pulled it up and as it positioned just right, gravity just took it and threw it down into the ground. As it jarred his whole body upon this cross. And the reason that they slightly had his legs bent and his arms stretched, because it was actually a form of torture. because as his body got weak and he wanted to sag, it then started to constrict his lungs, so it made it hard to breathe. And so as his feet were nailed together and his legs was slightly bent, as he would push up, it would give him some relief to his breathing, but then his legs would start to give away. And so he had to make the choice. Do I endure the pain or do I suffer to breathe? All the while by being mocked while he was up on the cross. All the while as his mother sat there and saw her son crying, tears coming down her face. All the while when they said, oh, I tell you what, we'll bet over his garments. Let's see who can take his garment. We don't want to rip it because it's such a nice garment. As they had mocked him for being a king. Thorns sticking out his head, blood running down his face. He could have been more concerned about himself, but at that particular time, he chose that there was a prisoner beside him on the cross. And he chose his last breaths to use that to minister to him that this day, you'll be in paradise with me. Knowing that he was going to go through all of that, after he worshiped God through sacrifice and by surrendering, God didn't remove the cup because it had to come to pass, because it had already been spoken that it would happen. It had to come to pass. He didn't remove the cup, but notice what God did in verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I want to tell you today that through your worship, God strengthens us all. He strengthens us all. He gives us exactly what it is that we need. He might not remove it. He might not take it away, but he strengthens us. He says, it's got to happen, but I'm going to give you everything you need to be able to make it through what's on your plate. Worship, sacrifice, surrender, and strengthening. These are the attributes, some of the attributes of true worship. As believers, it's all of our responsibility to worship God. I believe the definition talked about reverence and how we reverence God and how we revere Him. Don't you know we... I'll just rub on my genie and ask him for my three wishes. That's not the God that we serve. He deserves reverence. All the time. That's what he deserves. And we got to respond that way. We have to respond that way. And a form of worship is how that gets done. Amen. I want to piggyback on what Sister Falk said. She says it's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. And I do believe that. Because if you don't have a personal relationship, you won't reverence him. If you don't have a personal relationship, it's going to be hard for you to actually see who he is to you in your life. Somebody else might tell you, just like we're doing here in church. Somebody else might tell you about how good he is and about how awesome he is. But if you don't have your own personal experience, you'll never really know. Without your own personal experience, that's exactly how you'll see God, is that little genie that we rub on that vase to call on just when we need him. That's how we'll see him, as some mystical being that shows up when we need him, instead of the God that's always there. I heard my son pray this morning, go into the hospital room. Not to go into the hospital room. He's already there. He already knows that they were going to be in the hospital before they knew it. He already knew it was all going to happen before they knew it. That's the type of God we serve. And our worship is important to him. Amen? Amen. I pray and I hope that today's sermon has helped someone in their relationship with God to understand the importance of worship. Amen? If God would allow us to see next Sunday. Prayerfully, we'll be able to do the same thing and talk about praise. But as I said before, they interchange with one another. They overlap. They're overlap. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. The importance of worship. I pray and I hope something has been said here today. Something has been shared. Something has been done. Something has been taught, preached, however you want to see it, that has touched your heart to help you to have a better understanding of worship. Worship can occur anywhere. Anywhere. Please don't think that you have to be in church to worship God. It doesn't have to happen. Worship can occur anywhere. And I encourage you to make worship a part of your daily life. Part of your daily life. As the Bible talks about being able to pray continuously. And people go, oh my gosh, I can't just walk around and pray all the time. Yes, you can. You can pray about every single thing you got going on. Every single thing. It doesn't take a long, drawn out, Lord, hey, I know you're here, help me. I believe that's what he said when he walked out on the water and he started to sink. Help! That was prayer. That was worship. That was reverence to God for who he is. Help me. Let worship be part of your daily life. Amen? Amen. It's personal decision time.